So often in the past, there's been a sharp division between left and right, between capitalist and communist or socialist. And especially in the Americas, that's been a big debate, right? I mean, those are interesting intellectual arguments, but I think for your generation, you should be practical and just choose from what works. You don't have to worry about whether it neatly fits into socialist theory or capitalist theory. You just decide what works.
Radio.
We have audio, but no video.
Radio Free V-Day.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You're listening to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you all for joining us, for tuning in, and for downloading the podcast and listening to us on the air over at ACN. However, we've got some disclaimers. The last couple of weeks, let me give you the rundown. It's been very, very busy, but in a very good way. However, yesterday, we were trying to make our big comeback after 2 weeks of being involved with Patriot activities and fellowship and some trips that took me out of town, all ready to go, excited for yesterday's show. And the audio drivers at my producer's studio crashed just as we were getting ready to go on the air. It was like a 1 minute to go on the air. And all of a sudden, he loses all audio, can't send, can't receive, can't connect me to the station, can't connect. Everything was working great at Radio Free Readout Studio A. We were doing our part, but the audio drop, something happened. He's been having tons of problems with this, with that, the computer system that operates all that stuff and routes all that whiz-bang stuff that it's outside of my area of expertise, but that's why I have a producer. So he's replacing that computer this week. So sorry about that. That is why there is no show from yesterday. And last week I had him re-air because I was on a camping trip, a hiking trip, with some other patriots, several elected officials and leaders in the patriot community, members of the assembly. There were seven of us. It was amazing. What a great, well, I haven't done something like that in years. I've not done anything not related to Radio Free Readout or AMRON in forever. In fact, I was talking about this trip. And the week before that, I also was invited to a bow hunting camp. And I'm a bow hunter, but I wasn't bow hunting this year. I haven't hunted elk. And I haven't bow hunted in over four years. So I got invited up to this group of patriots, great, amazing people. One of them's he's a retired general, Marine Corps general. In this hunting camp, they've been hunting together for like 17 years. I guess several of them wanted to meet me, and I know of a couple of them, well, one of them really well. He invited me up. Look, I really wanted you to meet these guys and time for fellowship. And so I did. I took him up on it, and I bugled and cow called and stuff, and we got in the middle of a couple of herds, very exciting. And like I said, I wasn't hunting, but I was just with them. Well, I was kind of hunting. I just didn't have a bow with me, but what a great time. And I was in an assembly meeting talking about this, and Polly 01, she says, I felt the urge of jumping up and just explaining to everybody that he doesn't normally do this. He's been chained to Radio for Readout in AMRON, hasn't left the American Readout, the Readout Ranch for anything not related to the Patriot, Radio for Readout and AMRON. But it's true. So this is pre-recorded early Sunday morning. getting ready to head out to elk camp because I am elk hunting. I am headed to elk camp this week, all week. So I will not be around to I'm in no cell phone, no internet, and I'm looking so forward to it. But what a very, very busy fall. We've got several things coming up here in the next month, 6 weeks. That is, it's going to have me pre-recording some shows. Some shows will be live. It's just, there's a lot of activity that takes place on the weekends. And I've got a choice. I miss out on it or I pre-record it if I can. And for that hiking trip last weekend, my intentions were to pre-record the shows, and everything got accelerated really quickly and precluded me from being able to do that. So that's why no show. Everything's fine. Everything's good. I'm very blessed. I feel very blessed and safe and all that good stuff. And I've been just dying to get on the microphone because there's so much stuff developing that I wanted to talk about. But I'm here now. And pre-recording this for you guys Sunday morning, so you'll have it Sunday evening, and then of course the downloads, 90,000 downloads of Radio Free Redoubt. That's just amazing. No. Correction. About 2,500 to 3,500 downloads where people actually want the audio file on their, you know, MP3 player, portable device. 90,000 hits. So. Anyway, hope you guys are all having a blessed week. For those of you who are hunting, be safe. And I just pray that your hunts are fruitful. We got a problem with wolves in the American Redoubt. Not even the same wolves that were indigenous. We got to bring the wolves back because there was wolves before, you know, us humans came along and ruined the earth. Well, let's bring wolves back. Well, let's not just bring the same indigenous wolves that were here before. Let's bring in these big Alaskan gray timber wolves that kill for sport. It has really affected the wild game population. I wonder if that's not intentional. I know that's kind of getting conspiracy theorist-y on here, but I mean, despite all the facts, they just totally ignore it. And now these wolves are a problem. You can hunt a wolf. It's like $32 for a tag. They should be paying the hunters for eradicating that menace. But anyway, yeah, you can kill them. If you don't, I heard somewhere that there was an unofficial set of regulations that when you see a wolf, you shoot, shovel, and shut up. But I'm still trying to confirm that. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff I want to cover today, and some of it's going to be part one, part two, because next week I'm going to be covering some of this as well, be talking about that. The other reason why I told you about the hunting trip and the hiking trip is because there's some stuff that came up during that process, during that time of fellowship with other God-fearing patriots that, you get some pretty amazing discussions that come up around the campfire, a bunch of thinking men facing problems, leading families, leading their communities and have an influence, and where people are looking to you for answers or solutions or ideas. You know, you turn a lot of stuff over in your mind and you bounce that off of each other. And it was a really amazing time. I wish there was a way to just drag you guys all with us. But then it wouldn't have been the same. But I just want to share as much as I can. So what we're going to do is get into the news and commentary. News and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. Go to 299days.com. That's 299days.com to learn more. So let's get into this. And oh, great meeting so many of you guys at that Benton and Franklin Local Emergency Management Association Preparedness Conference. That was a great time. Really opened a lot of folks' eyes about emergency communications. I was able to share that audio file with you guys last week and the week before because we re-aired it. But yeah, lots of good stuff. In international news, from the National Black Robe Regiment, which of course is the Patriot Pastor Regiment, protesters marched throughout Mexico in opposition to the president's proposal to legalize same-sex marriage. 250,000 Mexican citizens turned out into the streets to protest. They said actually more than 1 million people marched in 75 cities, but 250,000 people, a quarter of 1 million people in Guadalajara. A verified accounting of marchers was not available. Of course, these are estimates, crowd control estimates. The marchers chanted yes to the family and yes, natural marriage, yes to freedom of expression, according to Yo Influyo. Yo Influyo. So, I mean, there's a lot of people saying, we don't want this here. But you know what? They're going to keep shoving it in people's faces. They're going to force it on them despite the will of the people, as we've seen over and over again. National news, Hurricane Matthew. We've been watching that all week. We had Amron Corps on alert for a regional AMCON 2 readiness level. And a lot of stuff's been going on there. Hurricane Matthew slammed the Atlantic coast at the border of Georgia and South Carolina early Saturday, bringing torrential rain, powerful winds, a storm surge, and the potential for catastrophic flooding after devastating Florida, where 1 million people lost power and 6 have died. Of course, that number is going to go up, and there are more than just 1 million people without power right now. One person that I was corresponding with, several, we were continuous correspondents there with the Amron Corps operators in the southeast. And I said, you know what you call a hurricane? Good training weather. Get your comms up. Get your stuff out. Right? I mean, what a great opportunity. We'll talk about this more here in just a little bit. In case you guys don't know it, there is... there's a lot of damage, extensive damage, a lot of flooding taking place there. And if you've got a ham radio or a shortwave radio with single sideband, it must have single sideband. And if you don't have a shortwave radio, at the very least, with single sideband capabilities, get one. It's inexcusable for you not to have something like that at this point. One of the county comms models or... The Sony or the Texon PL660 or the PL880 with an external antenna, as high as you can get, out the window, as long as you can get, as long of a wire as you can get, you can pull that stuff in. I was actually talking to Angry American, who is the author of that Going Home series. I was talking to him on Friday and Saturday, finally getting his HF rig hooked up for the first time. So, good job. See, what I say, hurricane is good training weather. It makes people get stuff taken care of that they've been meaning to. But you know what? You've got to train in advance. You've got to train ahead of time. Even if you got a shortwave radio or even if you got a ham radio and you're not licensed, you can still monitor, and they're great rigs for pulling in the signals. So train in advance. Don't wait until the storm is on the edge of your property about ready to kick your door in before you finally decide to start figuring this stuff out. That's why we train. Huh? Now, something interesting that I've been paying attention to, I wanted to draw your attention to, Chatham County, C-H-A-T-H-A-M, looks like Chatham, but it's pronounced Chatham County, or Chatham County. They have phased reentry guidelines because these were mandatory evacuation areas. So now they have phased reentry guidelines. Now, if you remember the coverage that we did on Cascadia Rising, if you did not follow that, you missed out because it gave you a really good glimpse into how they're training and how they're developing their doctrine and training up to that doctrine to control population groups. So let's go over to this PDF, which we are going to post in our highlights and resources posting for you to check out. And in fact, let me put that link right in my notes right now, because I'm online looking at this PDF. There, I got the link in my notes. So Pauly01 will add that to the highlights and resources posting. So Chatham County phased reentry guidelines. For the purpose of these guidelines is to establish consistent reentry phase definitions and descriptions for those counties likely to be impacted from the Atlantic hurricane. Let's move on. The Georgia Emergency Management Disasters Critical Workforce Entry Permits Standing Operating Procedures. So they actually have disaster critical workforce reentry permits. You don't get to go in there until you have a permit. So phase one is render safe task force team entry. You have to have ID requirements, first responders, and other designated emergency response personnel reentering during phase one must be in possession of an official local, state, or federal government department photo ID card. This is control, population control, as in controlling the movement. Phase one is the initial phase of reentry in which teams from state and local response agencies, as well as private sector utility providers, will gain access to impacted areas. The primary objective of personnel operating in this condition is to render the area safe for follow-on first responders. That's phase one. Now, to determine whether or not you get access, law enforcement and other designated security personnel will exercise discretion at county reentry control points. If personnel at the control point are not able to make an appropriate determination regarding access, the Emergency Operations Center will be contacted for a resolution. The Emergency Operations Center will determine whether or not you get to go into this particular community. Being in possession of a reentry permit will not allow access into Chatham County prior to reentry phase 2B. So, very controlled access, and this is being practiced everywhere. We saw this implemented in Cascadia Rising. They incorporated this heavily into their training. And if you remember back during the flooding of four to six weeks ago in Louisiana, they had people that are inside the ring. I mean, they want to control people going in and out, but the people that were already on the inside, they were the Cajun Navy went and rescued on rescue missions, and they decided you have to have a permit to rescue people, and they're actually using police resources to patrol to enforce this permit policy implemented for anybody who's rescuing someone without a permit, diverting critical and rare resources, strained resources, overstretched resources to patrol for people rescuing people without a permit. Lunacy. Now, on the other hand, can you imagine something as devastating as Fukushima and just letting anybody go back in without, first of all, going in and assessing the situation? There are power plants, there are gas lines, there are chemical plants, there are so many industrial and other hazards that just when you got a devastated area from a major natural disaster, just to let people just start going in is not wise either, because it's a lose-lose situation for the government. Because look, you allowed these people to go into harm's way, you put no control measures in place, and then on the other side you are violating our liberty by not allowing us free travel. This is our home, this is our business. Oh, that's not till phase four. For phase 3A, before homeowners and businesses can enter the affected area. Okay, but they've got first responders. They've got power lines down across the road. They've got trees down. They've got potential industrial hazards as well. you know, you have a melting down nuclear power plant, you want to keep people away from it. So here's the conundrum. What's the primary duty of a government? Preserve life, liberty, and property. And protect our borders from threats. So that pretty much, that those are very simple guidelines. It should really simplify the whole thing as far as what the government's duties are. But what happens when protecting life and liberty conflict? And we always say, choose liberty first. Liberty first. Choose liberty over safety, right? But then also, do you let somebody, just because they have liberty, go marching into an area that you strongly suspect has a melting down nuclear power plant? No. Life first. So, boy, this is a tough one, isn't it? You know what? This is why we are lacking this thing we are lacking called discernment. I've talked about this before. Discernment. It makes sense to stop people from going into a hazardous area. But the other thing here is that this has to be government-approved ID cards to allow people to go in. You have to be special. The government workers, government officials can go into areas that you can't. You can't go to your home. You can't go to your business. And they weren't letting people out either, according to this other report that I have. Now, this is the whole point why we were trying to build a nation, why we became a nationwide network. Now, the objective is to permeate every community with radio operators. Because if an area goes dark and we have to maintain contact, well, you could insert some radio operators into an area to establish communications. But isn't it better if you've got radio operators everywhere? If you're a technician, you need to upgrade. You need to upgrade to general class operator. Because everywhere where there's an AMRON operator, which is in every state and Canada and Puerto Rico, and multiple operators in every state, you shouldn't have to insert AMRON operators to establish communications with a community. Because theoretically, you should have AMRON operators everywhere that can be a lifeline depending or regardless of the cordon that they put around a community. You are the lifeline to the outside of that community to help assess the situation and the threat and call for help, right? Now, and then we'll take a break here in just a second, because I've got a lot more stuff that I want to get to. Actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and take a break. Let's take a break now, and we'll come back. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
Listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. You can reach me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com after next week when I get back from harvesting an elk, a Rocky Mountain elk. If you are getting ready to relocate strategically to the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho, well, there's some folks that can help you out. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate will help, have been helping God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots get strategically relocated. And if that's you, then give them a call today. Check out their website, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Great folks, really great folks. Now, before I went into the break, I was talking about these re-entry guidelines and these people control checkpoints to make sure you have an official pass to be able to go into an affected area. Now, I understand these areas are ripe for looting. There are also hazards. You know, if you don't need to be in there, you don't need to be in there. In fact, dirtbags just cruising around looking for places that are open to loot, I actually appreciate. That's one of the government's job. Protect life, liberty, and property. Right? If my property's vulnerable because we're forced to, you know, relocate, to evacuate, I appreciate getting security on the ground as quickly as possible. However, I am my own best security. I guarantee it. I would be better off with me and a couple of friends coming and resecuring my home than if probably 70 or 80% of the law enforcement that are out there. Because, first of all, it's my home. I'm going to defend it much more vigorously than someone else who's just, my home is just one more in hundreds of homes that they got to do a quick drive-by on, right? I want to secure my family. Nobody's going to take care of my family or my property like me. So they do have measures in place for, verifying, look, you do live here, right? They're just, because meth head's going to come cruising through the neighborhood. Oh, yeah, I was just going to see a friend. Oh, okay, go ahead. In Conconoli, they had, the next town, what, Tenasket? Not Tenasket. Oh, darn it. One of these little towns, they had guys wearing firefighter uniforms rolling into towns right on the heels of the firefighters who were really fighting fires. And then they peel off in town and they're going door to door, knocking on doors. Well, some people that decided not to evacuate answer their door and there's a couple firefighters there. Oh, just want to check. Are everything okay here? Sure. Yeah. Everything's fine. Okay. Have a nice day. Then they find out all these places have been burglarized except for the places that these guys dressed in firefighter uniforms that are doing it. So, anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. This would be a great discussion. What a great sitting around the campfire, just unwrapping all of this, all the pros and cons, and laying it all out. But in other news, gun show customers' license plates come under scrutiny. Why? Well, federal agents are enlisting local police to scan cars' plates at gun show parking lots. Federal agents have persuaded police officers to scan license plates to gather information about gun show customers. Government emails show, raising questions about how officials monitor constitutionally protected activity. That's because it's only right now it's constitutionally protected. You know why? Because they are feeding Fusion Center databases. Everything is being harvested as quickly as possible to feed these databases at these. And all, you know, the other thing too, if the fusion centers are being used like something that Stasi could only dream of, the NKVD, the SS, the KGB, they dreamed of intelligence gathering capabilities like this. But see, the police officers, they've got all these, through DHS grants, they have license plate reading cameras mounted on the, you can see them. They look like all over the trunk, on the hood, I mean, in all directions, 360 degrees. As this police car is cruising through the community, it is harvesting all of these license plate readers. So you can find out, hey, where's Joe Schmo? He owns two vehicles. Well, where have these two vehicles been seen? You know, what's been their activity? Well, now they got roadside or overpass cameras, and now police officers are driving around with these cameras. So they're having local police officers. Of course, they're going to comply because they're getting lots of grant money from the federal government. So all you got to do is just drive up and down the rows through this gun show and then leave. And it's all harvested. Never have to get out. Never have to touch a thing. You just drive through, scoop, it's all there. So, countermeasures. Well, you could just stop going to gun shows. But you know what? That's just not an acceptable alternative. You could ride with a friend and sacrifice your friend by letting his stuff get harvested and you don't.
Or you could back in, remove your front license plate, back in so that your license plate is backed up against the vehicle behind you. So when they drive by, they're not going to jump out and go, wait a minute, and run around behind and write down the license plate number on the back of your vehicle. They just drive through. They drive up and down the rows, like, say, at the fairgrounds where the gun show is. They just drive through, and they drive away. That's it. So back in. Remove your front license plate, and then back in. So there's one countermeasure that you can implement that's free. Free advice. Yahoo secretly scanned customers' emails. Why? For U.S. intelligence. Out of Reuters, Yahoo Inc. last year secretly built a custom software program to search all of its customers' incoming mails for specific information provided by U.S. intelligence officials, according to people familiar with the matter. The company complied with a classified U.S. government demand, scanning hundreds of millions of Yahoo mail accounts at the behest of the National Security Agency, or the FBI. And this is coming from three former employees and a fourth person who was apprised of the events. Some surveillance experts said this represents the first case to surface. Remember, this is the first case to surface. There are many more cases below the surface. There's more of this. We're just finding out about this right now. This is the first case to surface of a U.S. internet company agreeing to an intelligence agency's request. Not even a warrant. Just, hey, you want to help a guy out? Sure. What do you need me to do? We need you to scrape all these emails and look for these keywords and then shoot it to us. By searching all arriving messages as opposed to examining stored messages or scanning a small number of accounts in real time. It's not known what information intelligence officials were looking for, keywords, only that they wanted Yahoo to search for a set of characters. That could mean a phrase in an email or an attachment, said sources who did not want to be identified. Now, don't say to yourselves, well, that just settles it. That's why I don't use Yahoo. That's why I use Gmail. Okay, that's why I use Outlook, Microsoft. Let me tell you something. You must control your own encryption and security. PGP encryption, end-to-end encrypted email. Stop using these free email services where you go online, or even the paid services where they control the encryption. And I know it's turnkey and I know it's easy, but even Proton Mail, we used to promote Proton Mail, not any longer, not because of the new developments. When you open up your email on Proton Mail, it is as soon as you put in your password, it is opened up and unencrypted between their server in Switzerland and your computer, wherever you are in America. And anybody intercepting that in between that server in Switzerland and your living room kitchen table is out in the open. You have to have end-to-end encryption. Now, if you are, and I've got this stuff on Amaron.com, go to the Down and Dirty Guide for Encryption, Anonymity, and Security. It's in there. It's also on the thumb drive, the Going Underground thumb drive. Okay, now there's another really good piece of news here. And this is, let me pull this up. This is good. If you guys are using a smart device, specifically, the apps, there's one app in particular I very strongly recommend, and that is Signal. And let me pull this up for you right now, because I got a really cool story that kind of affirms the security of that. Stand by, and where are we at? Let me pull it up. Okay, here it is. From nakedsecurity.sophos.com, feds secretly subpoenaed encrypted chat app Signal. But this is good news. Signal maintained its user trust despite the Fed's attempt to gain information through subpoenas. They were left empty-handed as Signal / Whisper Systems does not store usable data. Apparently, the only thing that it stores is when you set up the account and the last time you logged in. So it does have your user, apparently your username and the date that you set your Signal up. But when they approached Signal or Whisper Systems with the subpoena, all they got was useless information. So that's a good testimony here. But see, Yahoo or Gmail or Outlook, any of these, you cannot trust any of them. With PGP encryption, you control your own security. You control your keys. You control who you exchange keys with. And nobody intercepting it in between can make use of it. It's very powerful. Go download Thunderbird and download your POP3 email into Thunderbird and set up your PGP. We've got the tutorials and all that kind of stuff available for you guys to do that. Your privacy is very, very important. Regional news. Now, I just got a text from a representative, or actually, she's an assemblywoman, equivalent to a state representative in the legislature. Michelle Fiore does not have a hard copy of this, but if you guys go to readoutnews.com, look at the article that says Michelle Fiore speaks. She's got inside information because she's been there during the trials about the Bundy Ranch incident. And what happened in the discovery phase of the Bundy Ranch trial, Michelle talks about. She's delivering to us enough information that we should be contacting every government official involved and your local media outlets demanding answers. Okay, they're in the discovery phase of the Bundy Ranch trials, and there is body camera footage and audio of BLM agents talking about which cowboy they're going to shoot. And then, oh no, I got him. You have to pick someone else. That one's mine. Talking about shooting citizens who were standing there protesting the illegal activities of the Bureau of Land Management. And you got BLM agents. This is a whole bunch of discovery that was suppressed by the court. And Michelle Fiore talks about this. Go to readoutnews.com. This is just atrocious. I was asking Michelle if she has like a PDF or some type of a document that we could post, and she does not. It's just her her testimony from sitting in the trials and listening, because you can't have any recording devices. You can't video, nothing. So she took notes and came out after the trial and when she came out and made this video talking about some of the stuff that they're suppressing that shows the illegal activities and intentions of the BLM. Feds weigh mining ban on 10 million acres to protect a bird. From Capital Press, the federal government's using a new assessment of mineral resources on 10 million acres in 6 western states to decide whether to ban potential mining on the land to protect an imperiled bird. This is a massive land grab using the paganistic environmental excuse to steal, to rob land from the American people, to tie it up so it can't be used to harvest our natural resources. 10 million acres to protect a bird. I have not seen any evidence that indicates that mining has killed this bird. What is this? What was this bird? Oh, it's the sage grouse. Oh, boy. Now, read that article over there at Capital Press. More, another angle in this continuing land grab by the federal government. Haganon News Network. Democratic Party alleges harassment in the panhandle. This was amazing. I actually have the article right here. Democratic Party alleges harassment in the panhandle. The Idaho Democratic Party is pulling a volunteer organizer from the field due to several instances of alleged harassment and intimidation. In one recent incident, the employee was confronted outside a Sandpoint grocery store and warned to be careful. The person that came up and harassed him was wearing a Heather Scott cap. Now, Representative Heather Scott is a hardcore, God-fearing, liberty-fighting patriot. Very popular from those who love liberty and those who are not leftist extremists or government supremacists. He was wearing a Heather Scott, re-elect Heather Scott cap, and basically ended the conversation by telling him that he needed to watch his back. In another instance, the employee was leaving his downtown office and found several people in Scott campaign paraphernalia leaning on his vehicle. Scott, an incumbent Republican in Idaho's House of Representatives, is being challenged by Democrat Kate McAllister in the November 8 general elections. Of course, she's going to get smoked like a cheap cigar because Heather's going to stomp her because that's patriot territory. All these guys, by the way, know his name, which is weird because he doesn't know them, Ferguson said. Ferguson's the Democrat guy. So they go to the sheriff. Listen to this. This is just beautiful. The incidents were reported to the Sandpoint Police Department and the Bonner County Sheriff's Office. Now, this Democrat Party guy, Ferguson, said both agencies were responsive, although a sheriff's deputy was dismissive of the harassment claims. Ferguson said the deputy indicated the employee could be fabricating the harassment claims for political gain because he is a Democrat. Somebody actually said it. Right? I mean, they probably took this deputy's words way out of context and they're twisting it because that's what Democrats do. Remember, they're using communist Alinsky tactics. And is this not probable? How many times have we seen homosexual harassment or racial harassment or whatever? We find out that it's fabricated. The Democrats, the left, the communists have repeatedly been caught fabricating harassment or threats and things like that. So it's very probable. And what's beautiful is that somebody, actually a deputy, actually said it. We don't know if this is real or not. This could have been fabricated, right? Lacking assurances that the employee would be protected from further harassment and intimidation, the party opted to remove him from the field work. Good. Get out. Communists are just simply not welcome in the American Redoubt. Now, here's the other thing, too. One of the reasons why the left is making headway is because they are aggressively, offensively, assertively in your face with their agenda. They're the true haters. They're the ones that are malicious. They're the ones that are aggressive. So the reason why they make such headway is because conservatives are conservative. They don't make waves. They go to work. They just want to be left alone, right? They don't show up to rallies in the numbers that the left does. Because those that are conservative, right? They're more low-key. They're not offensive people like they are on the left. So what do you think the odds are that this Democrat Party worker went out to his car and is surrounded by people wearing Heather Scott paraphernalia, leaning on his vehicle to intimidate him like you'd see portrayed in some movie in the South, you know, some corrupted community or something like that. That's the kind of picture that he's trying to paint. It's very unlikely that what he's saying is truthful. He should have gotten his cell phone out and recorded it. That's what liberals are trained to do, right? When you're being harassed by someone on the right, well, you start recording it. You record everything. He didn't. And he's supposed to be a trained Democrat worker? Out of caution, we had to pull our employee out of the community. We couldn't keep him in there after the sheriff's office didn't give us any reason to believe that we were going to be taken seriously. well, we don't take you seriously, other than the threat that you are to our lives, our lifestyle, and our values. But they also said Heather Scott did not respond to a request for comment when asked about her awareness of the allegations. Why would she respond? Good job, Heather. You don't respond. What is there to say? This guy's claiming, and remember, this guy's a Democrat working for the party that is trying to oust a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. Making these claims, and of course ties Heather Scott to this by saying these guys are all wearing her re-election campaign material. Hats, shirts, stickers, whatever. Not. I don't believe it for a minute. You guys don't have a good track record. Well, they have a good track record of being liars. So, I just don't believe it. All right, let's take a break. Come back in a minute. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
This isn't looking good at all, man.
Out of control.
This isn't looking good at all.
You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. Child Protective Services has a long and sordid history. They kidnapped a family's children because they home-birthed their twins. Shortly after the birth, paramedics showed up at the family home and recommended the children go to a hospital for evaluation. The family politely declined, and lo and behold, CPS showed up the next day. In a very rare move, the Attorney General's office then took over the case. This is the same AG who is persecuting Christian business owners for refusing to participate in same-sex wedding ceremonies. The fact someone is a Christian, home births, breastfeeds, and homeschools their children is not evidence of abuse. It's evidence of love. CPS is out of control, but thank God a courageous commissioner ruled against CPS and these children are going home for Christmas. But let us resolve to never let this happen again. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the community like Matt Shea Republic.
Segment 3, here with Katie Armour. Come and take it. Body Armour, C-A-T-I. Go to katiearmour.com. They've got all your level 3A body armor. They've got the hard steel plates, and they've got the soft armor and t-shirts. They've got free shipping on all their products. That is a Christian patriot business that strategically relocated to the American Redoubt for all the right reasons to be around like-minded patriots. They do a great job, and they're just great folks. Check them out at katiearmour.com. Continuing on here where we left off. Oh, by the way, don't forget to keep the Christians that are being persecuted around the world in your prayers. Continue to pray for the ministries that are reaching out to them, rescuechristians.org and Voices of the Martyrs. They just do an amazing job. We just recently gave to Covert Operations, Voices of the Martyrs, Covert Operations, and rescuechristians.org. But no, they're in it right now. They are facing a lot of persecution and death wherever they are. So, welcome to our right-wing mainstreamists. They want us to call us extremists. Interesting. Right-wing mainstreamists. That's what we are. We're not extreme. Now, we are God-fearing people who believe in the rule of law, and especially the higher law, his word. That's mainstream. That's what America made. That's what made America. Right? We have a strong sense of patriotic duty and a love for our country and a strong sense of nationalism. That's mainstream. that we believe in protecting the oppressed and the defenseless, especially the unborn. We believe in protecting the sanctity of marriage as between a man and a woman. We believe that the government's fundamental duty is to protect the citizen's life, liberty, and property, and to safeguard our nation and its borders and our national interests. We believe in the right to self-defense and the right to bear arms. We believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and that liberty is a blessing which can be taken away if we rebel against Him. We believe in standing firm against evil and not giving up an inch, never compromising, because those who we would appease by compromising righteousness cannot protect us from His wrath. They are the extremists. The values that we stand for are mainstream. We are the right-wing mainstreamists. They are the left-wing anti-American extremists. So, just keep that in mind. I should just print that up. I should make a list of that, just to print that up, so then I'm right up the transcript. That'd be good. Now, there's something I want to share with you guys. This last weekend, we went on a hiking trip, and I'm going to do kind of a series here because I've done a lot of research and studying, and I've talked about the rise and fall of empires and the indicators that America is an empire in decline in its final stages, and that America, or no country, no empire has ever survived beyond the point where America is right now. Now, there's some work that I read years ago, and I'd forgotten about it till it came back up again this last weekend. One of our campfire fireside chats was two things. First of all, it was Guerrilla America's John Mosby's book, Forging the Hero. Now, there's a couple guys that we were with who are very profoundly impacted by John Mosby's latest work. I don't have that one. I have The Reluctant Partisan by him. I don't have Forging the Hero, but I'm going to get it. And actually, I'm going to be talking to John he was asking me about coming on to Radio for Readout. I'm like, yeah. He says, I'll watch my language. I can. For the most part, I'll try. And so that's his trademark. But I'm like, hey, that's okay, man. That's why I got a beep button. So anyway, his work in Forging the Hero was heavily influenced by a writing by Sir John Glubb. He wrote this in 1977, and it's called The Fate of Empires and Search for Survival. So he goes through the different phases of an empire, from prosperity to its inception to its, you know, birth, all the way through the different phases, the industrial phase and then the intellectual phase and then decadence phase, and basically kind of where we are now, and compares it to all the common threads that you see running through all previous empires. And we are right on track for the curtain to close on the American empire. We're right at the threshold. He articulates it very well. Well, John Mosby refers back to the fate of empires throughout this book, Forging the Hero. So this was a great discussion that we had sitting around the campfire. And part of the fate of empires was the search for survival. Exactly what we've been talking about, what I've been talking about on Radio Free Readout. It's been our primary message for the last 5 years. Over 5 years now, Radio Free Readout's been on the air. And the common message has been this. Empires rise and they fall. There are indicators to know when you are at the end of an empire. Every empire that is in the history books, when it fell, has been replaced by smaller, independent, self-ruling nation states. And every one of those independent nation states chose to have their own different types of government, their laws, the rules, the values, the things that would define their nation. And that was all dependent on the majority of the demographics in each of those regions. That's what determine their laws, their values, and their identity. So if America is at the final stages of its decline, then it stands to reason, if history is a measure, that there will be a rebuilding and America will be fragmented. And there's been so many sociologists, paleontologists, or archaeologists, people that study sociology, that are saying these are the projected regions that would emerge after America. If left to themselves without outside influence, like a foreign invasion, you know, Russia comes in, China or whatever. But all of these maps are, they corroborate one another. There's some various differences. There's some variances where the borders might end up being. But the American Redoubt is very clearly one area that all these people, from Russian sociologists to American to historians, are looking at the American Redoubt area, the Inland Pacific Northwest, as definitely a one that could emerge on its own. And it would be primarily made up of Christian conservative type of patriots that would maintain a lot of the values that America was founded on, the principles. They would probably restore the closest thing to America was founded on. So I'm going to go through the series, and I'm going to go through the fate of empires. I want to encourage you guys to go and print that. Just do an internet search. Go to DuckDuckGo, and then your stuff is stored and tracked. You go to DuckDuckGo and type in the fate of empires and searching for survival. Because the fate of empires talks about where we're all headed. Our fate is for this empire to collapse. Now, the search for survival is what comes out, what emerges afterward, and how that's influenced. That's the and search for survival portion of it. How they survive, how they band together, how like-minded people, a lot of the word in John Mosby's book, one word that comes up a lot is frith, F-R-I-T-H, frith. And that's that thing, that glue, that bonds people that adhere to certain similar values to one another, that bonds them, binds them. And the smaller the group, of course, the stronger the frith, where people literally, where they would pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor toward a common cause because they have frith. And he talks about that. So I'm going to be talking about the rise and fall of empires, and I'm going to be tying in Glubb's work here from The Fate of Empires. It's only 27 pages. You print it out on two sides and put it in a little comb binder and put some cardstock on each side. That's what I did. And that's going into my repertoire because I always had it just in PDF. I'm going to start printing this stuff out and getting the publications where I can find them. So, After the Republic is an article over at Claremont.org. This is going to tie into the series that I want to do, maybe a two-part, maybe a three-part series. And there's a very profound article over at Claremont.org that I'll link in the highlights and resources posting. It's titled After the Republic. What goes by the name constitutional law has been eclipsed by the U.S. Constitution for a long time. No, let me reread that. That's incorrect. What goes by the name constitutional law has been eclipsing the U.S. Constitution for a long time. But when the 1964 Civil Rights Act substituted a wholly open-ended mandate to oppose discrimination for any and all fundamental rights, it became the little law that ate the Constitution. Now, because the act pretended that the Commerce Clause trumps the freedom of persons to associate, or not, with whomever they wish, and is being taken to mean that it trumps the free exercise of religion as well, bakers and photographers are forced to take part in homosexual weddings. Now, the full article is over at claremont.org, but I'm going to talk about this after the Republic. This is a good article that's going to tie in also with this series. But if you guys want to read ahead, you can read that article. But that Civil Rights Act being so, like you said, open-ended to help oppose discrimination. Now, discrimination somehow has been determined to be a constitutional right that isn't there in the Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution there's a Bill of Rights, but Bill of Rights has been replaced with civil rights and protection from discrimination. Nowhere is that in the Constitution. But, well, we'll get into that more in depth. So there's something else I want to talk to you about in the next and final segment. Wars and rumors of war. We're hearing it all the time. Want to approach that and actually give you some practical information about what you can do to protect that. So get ready for this series coming up on the fate of empires and the rise and fall of empires, because it ties directly with the message of Radio Free Redoubt and the American Redoubt movement. Stay right there. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment with no threat of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or forest fires. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here, to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. revrealty.us. And may God bless you.
And this is the fourth and final segment brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. They will help. Do you have a plan for seamlessly blending tactical features into your landscape? Do your raised bed planters double as ballistic barriers? Do you have a complete plan for the development of your property? Does your plan locate each current and future building, bunker, garden, livestock area, and all other resources? Does it bring it all together? If you're not sure how to do that, then get a hold of Landscape Design, strategiclandscapedesign.com, and they'll help you with this. They do a great job. Christian-owned business right here in the American Redoubt. And also, they help you with your securing your water rights. If not, you should learn how to obtain the legal rights to your water before someone else does. I'm telling you, water wars are coming to America. And you have got to have certain things in place to make sure that you continue to maintain the rights to your water. And these folks will help you out. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Give them a call. Before the break, I was talking about wars and rumors of wars would be coming up in segment four, and I want to talk about this. Now, as Christians, in Matthew 24:6, and also in Mark 13, Jesus said, when Jesus asked, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" When they asked him that, He replied and said, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, or do not be dismayed, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now the end is coming, not the end of the world, but his return. As Christians, we believe that. There are certain things to watch for. One of those things is wars and rumors of wars. That doesn't mean he's coming just because there's wars and rumors of wars. There's always been rumors of wars and wars, correct? Now, these are going to intensify. These wars and rumors of wars, in combination with so many other indicators of his coming, all come together to increase the likelihood that we're, you know, basically at the threshold. The time will come when the gospel is spread to every language, every nation, everywhere in the world. Everyone will have heard the gospel. That's when he said, look up, it's here, right? But leading up to that, wars and rumors of wars. Has there always been? Yes. But not on the level of intensity that we're seeing right now, except for, you know, world wars. But there was other things that were not in place. Well, I want to, first of all, say, as we go into this, reason why I'm telling you this, I want you to key in on something when he says, do not be troubled, or in some versions, do not be dismayed. And this is where people say, I'm not going to just listen to that. That's just living in fear. No. You have to follow these things. Just don't be fearful. And you still have, you cannot stick your head in the sand and pretend that wars and rumors of wars are not taking place. You also cannot stick your head in the sand and naively believe that we would, in America, would be exempt from that. We're ripe for judgment. We are about to get kicked in the teeth. I've been saying this for a long time. It's coming, and every day brings us closer. Every day that it doesn't happen is a blessing. Another day, another opportunity for us to repent as a nation. Now, it doesn't seem like we're on track to do that. So the consequences must come at some point because he is a just God. So are we seeing prophecy fulfilled? Are we in the latter days? Could Christ rapture us out at any moment? Don't count on it. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd just be icing on the cake, right? Got out of this one unscathed. Unlike all the other Christians around the world, we're not getting out of this unscathed. It just hasn't hit us yet. So, I want to point this out to you. U.S. News and World Report recently reported, and this is from, you know, back. This is old. One in every four nations. A new study from Washington think tank details a little known fact. 45 nations, a fourth of the world's countries, are now fighting wars. Yes. Very possible. So, Hosea the prophet clearly tells us that, I'm reading you from this article here. Hosea the prophet clearly tells us that the latter days are a specific time when the Jewish people would return to the state of Israel after being dispersed throughout the world for nearly 2,000 years. And let me move on here. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, David their king, and shall fear the Lord and all of his goodness in the latter days. Amazingly, the Jewish people have returned to the state of Israel, so we must be in the latter days. Of course, they're not fearing the Lord right now. But they will. That's coming. So, I'm also saying this to say that when you, not out of fear, but when you see danger, Proverbs says, when you see danger, the prudent sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple keep going and they pay the penalty, or they suffer the consequences, or they suffer for it, or however the verbiage is. In whichever version you're reading. Let's read the King James. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. All right? They pay the consequences. So somebody asked, you know, what time would you like to live in? Any time in world history? I'm like, right now. Right now. These are exciting times to live. It is exhilarating. But it's dangerous. But I'm not fearful. I'm fearful of his power and his justice and the stuff that we've allowed to happen in our country to place us in the situation where we are losing the blessings and liberty. But those are a gift from him. We belong to him. And he's going to see us through it. So the reason why I'm bringing you up to this is because right now there are several things going on with Russia. Paul McCleary and Adam Ronsley write, "It's over. Few were surprised Monday when the State Department called off talks between Washington and Moscow over a new ceasefire in Syria. The ceasefire deal forged earlier this month, which few ever believed would work, started falling apart almost immediately, punctuated by a mistaken U.S. airstrike on Syrian troops, the Russian and Syrian attack on a U.N. aid convoy, continued fighting by some U.S.-backed rebels, and Syrian jets refusing to stop pounding civilian targets." And, you know, there's an article that came out last week I referenced that, you know, the Russians are saying basically a war, a direct confrontation with the United States is unavoidable now at this point. They're also rattling the nuclear sabers. Now we have an article here at Fox News and several other sources. Russia deploys advanced anti-missile system to Syria for the first time, U.S. officials say. Russia launches civil defense drills amid tensions. Listen to this. The Russian Emergencies Ministry have launched a sweeping nationwide civil defense drill set to involve 40 million people. Now, this is Cold War era. You guys that are younger, if you're, say, 40, maybe 35 and under, you are out of touch with the Cold War. You don't realize it. We grew up in this. And even before we were very young, there were civil defense shelters everywhere. It was planned. It was built in. And of course, that was really the baby boomer generation really saw that. They grew up in that in the 50s and the 60s. Air raids and, you know, civil emergency drills and things like that. Every community, multiple bomb shelters under the library, under the school gym, somewhere in town. We've gotten rid of all of that. There are still civil defense shelters all over the place, but they're just like, most of them are caved in. They're just disrepair. They're remnants, crumbling remnants from the Cold War. But the Russians, the Russian ministry is involving a nationwide civil defense drill set to involve 40 million people. What is America doing? We're arguing about Black Lives Matter. Emergencies Minister Vladimir Puchkov said the four-day exercise launched Wednesday will help raise government efficiency while dealing with the consequences of large-scale emergencies. Puchkov said his ministry can ensure uninterrupted transport, energy supplies, and communications. The maneuvers evoke memories of the Cold War, when Soviet citizens were trained how to survive in case of a nuclear conflict. Some observers link the current drill to the widening strain in Russia-U.S. ties over Syria and other issues. The nation's Cold War-era civil protection system that included a sprawling network of shelters in every city was dismantled after the collapse of the Soviet Union. But the Emergencies Ministry has worked to restore some of its elements. Now, let me just share you. This is continuity of government operations. Don't be mistaken. The Russians are working on government continuity operations. But it also involves 40 million citizens. Look at the biggest emergency response drill the United States has done in recent history, Cascadia Rising. It involved military, Canadian military, several other components of the Department of Defense, FEMA, state-level emergency management, county-level emergency management. It was huge. But the citizens, most of them, were completely unaware that it was even taking place. The citizens are not being incorporated into the civil defense planning because it is not civil defense in America. It is continuity of government. Well, the Russians just involved 40 million people. We involved a few tens of thousands, specifically in the government. And several, most components of this training was accessible only, password protected, only by government personnel. That's it. And the people are not prepared for this. In fact, if you are prepared for it in America, you're a wacko. You're one of these people with spam and bunkers that's a prepper. Some lunatic waiting for the zombie apocalypse. Oh, the doomsdayers. So now we shame people who continue on with a long tradition of civil defense. In America, the people are shamed, while our adversaries that are strategically relocating nuclear, strategic and tactical weapons, and other military assets into place. And they are preparing their people for what many are calling an inevitable showdown between Russia and the United States. 40 million Russians are training, and we are caught up with Kim Kardashian or Justin Bieber or football freakdom. And we're sitting there fighting over a football quarterback that kneels instead of honoring our flag. And we're squabbling amongst ourselves. So we need to build frith among the patriot community. We need to stay focused on this emerging threat, not out of fear, but out of prudence, so that we can prepare to weather this, so we can have a say on what type of culture emerges on the other side. I'm going to close here in just a little bit. Superstation95.com. You can take it with a grain of salt. They put out some good stuff that's solid and verified. Other stuff doesn't seem to materialize. However, this one caught my attention. Military members from the United States who are in and around Syria have been calling their families back in the States, telling them, "We have been told to prepare for a tactical nuclear exchange with Russia in Syria, and forces at home in the U.S. have been ordered to prepare for one-on-one intercontinental ballistic missile exchanges with Russia once the fighting breaks out in Syria." Direct conflict between Russia and the United States in Syria could deteriorate into a nuclear exchange. Russia is training their citizens on this possibility. Further, those conversations have included warnings to families to immediately relocate away from U.S. military bases, which are expected to be targets of any intercontinental attack. Superstation 95 has confirmed such conversations with three separate military families who have family members in the Middle East. The Pentagon refuses to comment on these reports, which is strange in and of itself. Usually, the Pentagon will flatly deny erroneous reports. Not this time. Just a terse no comment. That's all they got. We have to return to that rugged individualism, folks. I am getting an interview lined up with Mr. Shane Connor from Nuke Alert ER. They build the Nuke Alerts, like little keychain nuclear radiation alert key fobs and other devices. He's got a pretty good guide. It's actually in a PDF at KI4U. That's Kilo India 4 Uniform. That's the number 4.com. KI4U, as in potassium iodide for you. But it's KI4U.com/guide.pdf. This will be linked in the highlights and resources posting, but he's got a guide on practical steps that you can take to prepare for a nuclear attack. And we're going to try to get him on, I'm hoping, if not next week, then the following. This is very important. Our adversaries are training for this, and we are not. And I just got from an Amron Corps operator out of Oregon, received two independent reports from the law enforcement community and someone in the emergency operations community, who both said that FEMA personnel are putting the word out to their personnel and to law enforcement and first responders, basically, be prepared to go to ground over the next 30 days. Be prepared to bug out or to report into the local regional FEMA office for duty, and to be prepared to be self-reliant for at least 30 days, and to do this immediately. There's a lot of scrambling going on in the emergency operations community, especially down from the federal level. And personnel in our government are being told, be prepared to be self-reliant. Do not count on having any help for at least 30 days. Now go. And this is what they're being told. Most of them are ignoring these warnings. They roll their eyes. But some of them are taking it seriously. Hopefully you do as well. Okay, we're going to take, we're going to wrap this up because I am headed to elk camp. So I appreciate your guys' prayers. You guys stay safe this week. Belay those letters of encouragement and emails and correspondence, because I won't receive them until a week, and then it's going to take me 2 weeks to get caught up on all the stuff I am going to miss because somebody didn't listen to the show for 3 weeks. And they shoot off emails anyway. So don't complain. Hey, I emailed you. You didn't return my... That's right. I'm not going to return any emails this week unless something really serious blows up. Now Amron operators will be able to get a hold of me. So anyway, guys, God bless. Take care. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.